The Dugout, Premier League Preview, Football Social Daily.
Manchester City have pulled ahead in the Premier League title race. Can Chelsea chase them down? We'll find out this weekend as the Blues travel to the Etihad. Will a City win end Chelsea's challenge? Those two are tussling for the title, along with Liverpool, who are missing a number of players with Salah, Mane and Keita at the Africa Cup of Nations. We'll discuss AFCON on today's show with someone who's got experience of that tournament. Plus, bragging rights are at stake in North London as Arsenal and Spurs meet at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Sunday. Who will gain the upper hand in the fight for the top four? I'm Niall, welcome along to the show. This is The Dugout, the Premier League podcast featuring former professionals. And as you can probably tell by now, I definitely didn't play in the Premier League, but two people who did are alongside me on today's podcast. We've got former Wolves and West Ham winger Matt Jarvis. Good to see you again, Jarvo. Is it a bit too late to say Happy New Year?
No, it's not too late at all. Happy New Year. Hope you had a nice Christmas.
And you. And for the very first time on the show today, it's a warm welcome to current Middlesbrough man and former Leeds and Leicester defender Sol Bamba. Sol, it's good to see you. Thanks for joining us. Things going well at Middlesbrough at the moment?
Thank you for having me. Looking forward to it. Yeah, we're doing well. We're in a good form at the moment. But listen, we're not going to get carried away. Just come back from training now. The gaffer's on it. You know, we got a Portland game on Saturday. So hopefully we can carry on the good form.
Look at that. Sol, ever the professional, the man who loves defending more than anyone I've ever seen in my life. But we'll get into that a little bit later. First of all, we're going to talk about the big games in the Premier League this weekend. And even though there's a North London derby taking place on Sunday, Jarvo, I think there'll be plenty of eyes on Saturday lunchtime when Manchester City welcome Chelsea to the Etihad. Now, this is a massive game in the title race, but the gap between Chelsea and City is already 10 points. City atop. Is this a bigger game for Chelsea in some respects? Because if they lose to Manchester City, I almost feel like that could put them out of the title race altogether.
Yeah, I think so. There is more pressure on Chelsea to get a result. I think it also, if City win, you know, it puts a little bit more pressure on Chelsea to look at the top four as well, because there's going to be teams chasing them down. And, you know, it's coming all at a different time. I know we're going to go on and speak about Lukaku and everything, but it just comes at a difficult spell for Chelsea at the moment, which you know, it could be a blessing, and this is the perfect game for them to go and turn things around. But definitely more pressure, especially away at the Etihad as well. There's definitely more pressure on Chelsea to go and get a result.
What's the mindset like for players going into these big games, Sol? Every league game is a massive game, but as a player, when you know that, you know, you're coming up against effectively one of your rivals, does that make you extra determined? How will the players from both sides be feeling heading into the weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every player would tell you the cliche, like, oh, it's just another game, it's another 3 points. It's not true. You know, Xavi would tell you, we look at games, we love to play big games in front of big crowd, and this is one of them. So definitely go extra motivation. You know, as two big teams in the league, Chelsea need to close the gap as well. So let's be realistic. If they lose that, I think the title race is over. And I think potentially the top four would be very, very difficult as well, like Jarvo said. So massive game for Chelsea. You could say it's not as big for Man City, but knowing Man City and the manager and the standards they set for them is another important game, and they want to play well and get the 3 points.
You're playing in the Championship at the moment, Sol, and there's a lot of Tuesday night games, and often you're playing Tuesday, Saturday. Chelsea played on Wednesday night in the Carabao Cup and they beat Tottenham. They're going to Wembley for that final. And then they've got the early kickoff on Saturday. How much of a difference does that make? We talk about how important rest is. Does it really make a big difference when you've got less time between games?
Yeah, it does. It does. But I think if any team can do it, it's Chelsea. You know, they got massive quads. They can change and chop and change at any time. You know, we seen at the game yesterday, you know, they make a couple of changes. Saar came in the left side on centre half, and Thiago Silva came on for a couple of minutes at the end as well. You know, they've got massive quads, so Chelsea can 100% do it. But it does have an impact in players when you play early kickoff. I mean, you're happy when it's finished because it's 2 o'clock and you're free. but it does impact the preparation, definitely. And Man City will have more time to prepare the game, and that's a massive advantage for them.
Yeah, definitely Manchester City. I mean, they're the sort of side, Jarvo, that you don't really want to give them any sort of advantage. Not that Chelsea could help it with the way that the fixtures were scheduled. But if you look at Man City's next three in the Premier League after the Chelsea game, they've got Southampton away, Brentford at home, and then Norwich at home. So if they beat Chelsea and win all of those other games, all whilst Liverpool have a bit of a weakened side with players away, with the African Cup of Nations taking place, then it's looking pretty good for them to defend the title if it doesn't so already.
100%. I think, you know, Sol's hit the nail on the head. You know, Pep Guardiola, what he does is his mentality to that squad is every game, you know, they go into looking to get 3 points. That won't change in any single game. So to get, you know, if they get Chelsea 3 points, then they're looking at their next three games thinking, yes, 3 points, 3 points, 3 points, and then they're clear. And they've got their squad's fantastic as well. They can rotate. They've got Champions League. They can rotate, and whoever's playing has got endless ability. And they've sort of not gone under the radar at all. But you just don't see them slipping up. And they're just every week they're just ticking away. Gets to a tough game, they get another win. They're just grinding out results. And another thing that quite a few players have come back, you know, De Bruyne is now back playing regularly, which is a huge, huge plus for not just for City, for the Premier League. And, you know, the rotation up the top end of the pitch is just, you know, how you can have that amount of players to just keep rotating is incredible. So they'll be looking at getting this win against Chelsea, and then they can steamroll for the next few weeks for sure.
Yeah, definitely with the fixtures coming up, you'd think that it is all in City's favour at the moment, especially if they do beat Chelsea at the weekend. And Jarvo picked up on Lukaku a moment ago, Sol, and he's got some criticism over the years for allegedly not scoring in the big games, particularly in the Premier League. It wasn't too long ago that Man City were supposedly interested in signing him at one stage. Is this the perfect game for Lukaku to prove those critics wrong? This is one of the biggest games of the season. So for those people that say he doesn't score in the big matches, if he goes and grabs a couple of goals at the weekend, that will silence the doubters.
Yeah, absolutely. And he will love that. I know him personally. He's a very competitor. He set target for himself as well. You know, he want to be top scorer in the Premier League. He want to score as much as goal as he possibly can for club and country. So, you know, I mean, listen, he had a bad press a couple of weeks ago. He knows he made a mistake, you know, the timing of the interview and all that. So you want to put that behind him, and what an opportunity to do so, you know, early kickoff against the one of the best team in the country. You know, so if he can score a couple of goals there, I'm sure he'd be very, very happy with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to ask about recent history between the two sides as well, because City won earlier in the season, Jarvo, but Chelsea won the Champions League final. As players, do you ever read anything into that? Is there an element of revenge, or is it the old media cliche of it's just another game?
No, look, you're definitely, as players, if you've scored against a team or played well against a team, you always remember it. You always remember it, and you're like, oh yeah, last time we played them, I did well, or you know, I got the better of that fullback, or I scored that goal. Or if you go the flip side, you're like, oh yeah, we got pasting against them last time. It does stick in your mind, but at the same time, for City. Yeah, until they won this season, early on, I would have said Chelsea had the upper hand over them. Like mentally, they did them in the Champions League, as you said. But they had that over them. I think mentally, City struggled with them, especially with Tuchel's side, because they're so resilient. They pack out the midfield. They couldn't get through. Pep were trying to tweak it with not playing a striker, and it just didn't work. They sort of got found out, not found out in tactically, but Tuchel just set Chelsea up, and they can play every which way. They can be defensive, and then they've got counter-attack. They can be attacking, because they've always got Kante that just sits there and cleans everything up. So it's always a difficult one, and it's if Pep's deciding to tinker with his shape, because Tuchel, he seems to have got the better of him in recent years, but it's going to be a cracking game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You said about remembering teams and players that you've done well against. Did you ever have a bogey team, Jarvo? Someone that you just didn't ever play well against?
I don't want to say yes, to be honest.
You're tired.
So no, yeah, exactly. I always remember I played at Charlton a couple of times, and not necessarily the team, but I don't think I had as good a game as I would have liked to hope to play. So that's always a stadium that I always think, oh, I just want to have another game there to get another good performances. But I had some really good results there, but not necessarily a personal. But don't ask me that again.
We'll get a charity match going, Jarvo. You can finally have a good performance at Charlton's ground. Put it behind you. What about you, Sol? It's a bit unfair to ask you because you're still playing, but were there any teams you came up against where you just thought, oh, I just can never get the better of these guys?
Oh, now it's so many, I don't know where to start. That's the problem, isn't it? No, that's not, I'm gonna be like Jarvo here. I think it's a tricky one, but I have to be honest, I never really done well up in Millwall. You know, we know it's all style and the quad is on you. The player are very, very strong and they love playing at home. So actually, I think I never actually won there, you know, with Leicester, with Leeds or with Cardiff. I never actually won there. So, you know, that'd be my next target with Middlesbrough. Hopefully we can go there and win.
Hey, when have you got them?
Yeah, oh. I'm literally Googling it now to see when Sol's got to travel down to. 12th of March, couple of months, 2 months from now, Sol. Yeah. We'll be keeping all eyes on that one.
I'll probably be injured there.
Well, it should be a brilliant game this weekend in the Premier League between Manchester City and Chelsea. The game kicks off Saturday at 12:30. Of course, Fergal will be back on Sunday with a full rundown of all the weekend's Premier League fixtures, including that one at the Etihad. So make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast and that way you won't miss that one. Time for a quick break here on The Dugout, and afterwards we'll be talking about the North London Derby, which has taken place on Sunday.
The Dugout, Premier League preview, Football Social Daily. The Dugout, Premier League preview, Football Social Daily.
Welcome back. This is Sport Social's The Dugout, the Premier League podcast featuring former professionals, or in Sol Bamba's case, still playing for Middlesbrough, of course. A big game for them at the weekend and a big game in North London as well as Spurs host Arsenal at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. This one kicks off Sunday at 4:30. This game's not only huge because it's a derby, Sol, but also in the race for Champions League football next season, both sides are eyeing up that fourth spot. Is it hard to pick a winner between these two? Because I'm really struggling to choose who I fancy for this one.
Yeah, same. I think it'd be very, very difficult to pick a team there. I think on form, you can probably say Arsenal, especially yesterday as well. Tottenham lost against Chelsea and they didn't do particularly well. And the manager as well was upset at the end of the game. You can see in the press conference, he wasn't happy with his team performance. So, but like we know, it's a derby, so the form go out the window. So, you know, I think it's a great opportunity for Tottenham there. You know, I think they got two games ahead on Arsenal and they're only a couple of points away. So if they manage to win that, or at least not lose, and they win their two games ahead, they were in the mix straight away. So, you know, I think it's a bigger game, in my opinion, for Tottenham than Arsenal.
We don't normally dive into too many statistics on this show, Jarvo, but the Opta win probability calculator has Spurs 38% chance of winning, the draw is 29% and Arsenal 33%. So even the statistics are suggesting it could be a pretty close game.
Yeah, look, it is. I think, you know, Spurs, they need a reaction. They need a reaction. The performance was not great. There was a lot of conspiracy about why Lloris wasn't playing as well. They definitely need a reaction. They need some help in the transfer market. I think that's going to be key to the positioning at the end of the season. I think, you know, Conte's got, I think he's gone in and assessed his squad and now he knows what he needs or wants. And it shows, I think it's refreshing to see him come out and do interviews like that and just say how he's not happy. You know, it wasn't a good performance. And they desperately need that reaction. But on the other way, Arsenal, you know, the last five games, four wins, one loss in the league. They've been scoring goals and they've had a really good defensive record. And their performance against City, where they lost, was good. So they're in a good place mentally and for your team. When you're winning games, there's nothing better. You can just ride that wave and it's consistency and it's just keeping it going. So it's going to be an interesting game for sure.
I've got a question for you, Jarvo, about Tottenham, seeing as you played for West Ham and for Wolves and you would have come up against Tottenham a number of times during your career. There's this stigma, I guess, around Spurs that they're a bit soft and they're kind of pushovers and they're easy to play against. And there's this term that goes around that Spurs are Spursy. They always throw it away when they get into the big situations. Is that something that you felt as a player? Because I've heard multiple pundits and former players talk about how there's this kind of sort of softness about Spurs that makes them a little bit easier to play against than probably the supporters would like.
That's a very difficult question, considering, you know, playing at Wolves, we beat Spurs. Playing at West Ham, we beat Spurs. So, you know, maybe. But no, look, I think, you know, when I was facing, you know, Spurs at Wolves, for instance, we were scrapping for points. So it was a massive game for us, and anything that we got was huge. So that was a different sort of mindset. You know, at West Ham, you know, it was a huge game. You know, you had to do well. So that, again, mental side of it was completely different. You know, you're going into the games knowing the fans, as West Ham was the biggest game of the season. So that lifted everything. So I don't know whether it's got that soft center that everyone says.
Yeah, I guess is it a fair thing to say, I suppose,
I think it potentially is a fair thing to say, because you can't shy away from you looking at it, and they have over the years, and teams have come up against them and beat them in these sort of games. So it is a fair thing to say. It's just something that Conte will, I'm sure, be trying to stamp out, because he's not that type of manager.
Absolutely, Jav. And I think that's where he's going to be key. Because mentality-wise, I think it's a mentality problem. And me being talking to a couple of players play for Tottenham, they hate it when, like you said, the pundit or the journalist or the player said that. But unfortunately, it's the truth, because when it matters, Spurs combo, as simple as that. So I think it's important for Conte to rectify that big time.
Yeah, do you think he's the difference maker then, Sol? I mean, we talk about the top managers in European football, and Conte is in that list. So do you think that in terms of changing that mentality, he's going to play a huge part in that?
Yeah, massively, because he's a winner. You know, he won with Juventus, he won with Chelsea before, and players respond to that. You know, listen, no disrespect to Nuno. I think player didn't really respond to his tactic than what he wanted them to do. Conte straight away, he commands respect, you know, players respond to him because he's a winner. He won a title in Italy and in England, you know. So I think it's key, but at the same time, you have to give him what he wants. You know, any big manager, successful managers, they spend money. So he won't be any different. And if Tottenham want to be successful, they have to give him the money for him to do what he want to do.
I think that's what Spurs fans are worried about, that, you know, they're not going to... They're not signed anyone, and if he doesn't get what he wants, is he going to still be there? Yeah. You know, that's what they're worried about, because ultimately he is the missing piece for them. Like he's a winner. He's got everything, and their squad. Yeah, everyone was saying, hey, they've got good players. They should be winning trophies. The key was, like Sol said, is mentally they weren't there, and he is the correct person to go in there and sort them out mentally away from the football side, but. He's got everything to go and win these games to go and finish in fourth, and then it's a great season. But he needs to be backed in the transfer market, and that's the hard part.
Yeah, I think you're right about the January window, and what are we now, halfway through January and nothing's happened yet? But I suppose with this transfer window, it all tends to happen towards the end. Yeah, I can see why Spurs fans might be concerned. You mentioned earlier on, Sol, that Tottenham have got two games in hand on Arsenal. What's the pressure like when you're in that situation and you've got games in hand? Is it only pressure if you let it get to you and you make it pressure on yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. You shouldn't think about it, because, you know, I've been in a situation like this before where the fan will say, no, it's good because if you win the game, we're there and there. But you have to go and win those games. So it's better to have the point on board than having the game in hands. So, you know, as a player, you have to know what it's about it. And when the game come along, you have to make sure you win it. To pick up the points and get high up on the table.
I wanted to ask about Harry Kane, Jarvo. He hasn't been the same since that move to Man City fell through in the summer. Do you think we'll see him kick on now for the second half of the season? I mean, what a game to kind of get things back up and running again, if that is to be the case, against Arsenal.
He's a fantastic player. He's world class. So he's not lost anything. I don't feel sorry for him in the sense that he's a great player and he should be doing better. I feel sorry for him in the fact that he's not getting the service. You know, he's feeding off scraps. He's not getting. You watch. You have a look at the game against Chelsea. He's got nothing. He's got no service. No crosses coming into the box. He's trying to do everything himself. And you know, it's difficult. Yeah, he needs that service to score the goals. So with Son being out as well, that's a huge miss for him. So he's a world-class player. He will continue to score goals to the end of the season, and he could be key for Spurs to get in the top four. Well, he will be key for them to get in the top four, but he needs the service, and that's what Spurs have to do.
You could just see in his eyes in that game against Chelsea when he scored that goal and it was disallowed for offside through VAR. He's just thinking, just need one. He's one of them players that just needs one, and then he's away. But we'll see how he gets on and how Tottenham get on against Arsenal in the North London derby on Sunday afternoon in the Premier League. The game kicks off at 4:30. Some really big games this week in the top flight. Before we move on to talk about the Africa Cup of Nations, there is one that I wanted to pick up on that kind of slipped under the radar a little bit, but I don't know why, because it's a huge game in the context of the relegation fight. Newcastle United play Watford. Now that could be absolutely massive. We've spoken about the top end of the table, Sol, but what about at the bottom? You know that the more ground you give up, the less chances you've got to get yourself out of it.
Absolutely. And his mentality as well, even more than ever. You know, you have to make sure you don't lose, you know, because it's a massive game. Absolutely. Everyone know about that. But it becomes massive if you lose, because if you don't lose, at least you get a point, then you can build from that. But if you lose, I think is a big trouble for everyone. The player get down, and the supporters and everything around the club. And that's when it's hard to pick up from there. But at least if you got a point, you know, or if you even better, if you win, that lifts the whole club and the players to carry on for the rest of the season. So, I mean, the pressure's on Newcastle simply because it's a home game and they have to win. Watford, obviously, if they win, it'd be good for them. But I think if they draw, they'd be happy with the draw, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Newcastle have made a couple of new signings. We've seen Kieran Trippier already, Jarvo, and now Chris Wood has made the move from Burnley for £25 million. It would be a good way for him to kind of endear himself to the Newcastle fans to get off the mark in that game in a huge bottom of the table clash by scoring a couple of goals.
Wouldn't it just? But I think it's timing. They were desperate to get someone in and to be ready for this game, because they, as I said, you know how important this game is. It's a must not lose game. You know, you have to pick something up, and Newcastle knew that, and getting this deal over the line, it was huge for them. You know, to have Trippier. They've been sensible, I think. You know, everyone's saying about transfers, they've been sensible. They've obviously got money to spend, but they've got Trippier, who's played in the Premier League for a long time, knows the league, can come straight in and adapt straight away. Chris Wood played many years in the Premier League, knows how to score goals. And it's exactly what Newcastle need. They need someone that's going to just hit the ground running. They need someone that's going to be a hold-up player, bring people into the game, which is exactly what he does. And he scores goals. He's got a great goal-scoring record if you look at it on paper. So it's a really good, shrewd signing for me.
We talk all the time about experience, and you mentioned it there, Jarvo. When do you feel like you're becoming an experienced player, Sol? Obviously, you know, kind of you're still playing at a very, very high level. When do you notice as a player that, hang on a sec, I'm the experienced one? Is it when you reach a certain age or a certain amount of games, or does it just kind of just flow naturally and then all of a sudden you're looking around you and you're thinking, right, I'm the one to lead the team now?
That's how I feel at the minute.
I think that change room's got a bit younger than I remember.
Oh,
double
sake. You don't want to
That's
know
how to call someone old without exactly. actually calling them old.
But to be honest, to answer your question, it's a bit of everything, really. I think it's the number of games you've been playing. Your age come to consideration as well, you know. And to be fair, I think people look up to they want leaders, because especially now, those days, you know, players come in the game younger and younger, and they don't have that natural leadership and be able to focus on the whole team. They focus on themselves, you know. So when you go player like, you know, certain age, will worried about the team, make sure the training standards is good, make sure everyone is on time, you know, because small details make the difference at the end of the top level, you know. And if you know at it on all those small details, you get found out. So, you know, it's about everything really now. I think it's about your age, the number of games you played, and how you see yourself as a leader or not.
Have you noticed the difference now with the younger players coming through, Sol, about kind of the way they're brought up through the ranks? Is it different? Well, I'm sure it's different to when you and Java were coming up through. But is it noticeable now when you're on the training ground? You're thinking, okay, this is a bit different from what I remember.
Yeah, massively. Even the way you talk to them, because, you know, Java would tell you before we used to get battered by all these players, you know, all the swear word, all the, you know, what you got 100%. To do, like, look, go you know what I mean? Go and make a cup of tea, clean their boots and all that. All those days are gone. But at the same time, we need to adapt to that as well, yeah. You know. But even something as silly as, you know, when you walk in a dressing room in the morning, I said, good morning. No one look at me. Everyone is on the phone like that. You know what I mean? And before, you know, everyone was involved and you talk to everybody and, you know, and I think you just have to accept it. It's a new generation. I've got kids myself and it's the same with them. You know, you can't talk to them without being on the phone or when you're at the dinner table. Nobody talk to each other. You know, and unfortunately, I always said football is a reflective of society. So that's the young generation now.
If Sol Bamba becomes a manager and you're listening to this podcast, don't get your phone out because you'll be dropped. you'll be playing with the reserves.
Absolutely,
it's tough love from Sol. Really interesting to hear about that, and it will be interesting to see who wins out of Newcastle and Watford at the weekend, if anyone. Could well be a draw, of course. Some huge games in the Premier League. And as I said before, you can hear the full rundown of all of those games on tomorrow's podcast with Fergal. That's it for part two of the show. Afterwards, we're going to be asking Sol about the Africa Cup of Nations, a huge tournament. It feels like there are more eyes than ever before on AFCON. We'll talk about it next after this.
The Dugout. Premier League preview. Football Social Daily. The Dugout. Premier League preview. Football Social Daily.
Welcome back to the podcast. This is The Dugout from Sports Social. My name's Niall. I've got Middlesbrough defender Sol Bamba and former West Ham and Wolves winger Matt Jarvis alongside me. And I wanted to ask Sol, someone who's a former Ivory Coast international, about the Africa Cup of Nations. Now, you're someone who's played in this tournament, Sol. You've been to the final with Cote d'Ivoire. Maybe you could just explain how huge this tournament is to the people of Africa, because it feels like, particularly here in the UK, there seems to be more coverage and more eyes on it than ever before.
Yeah, which is good for, you know, for the whole continent of Africa. You know, for us back home, it's massive. It's equivalent probably of a European player play the Euros, if you like, you know. So it's a buzz around the country, the whole continent. Everyone is excited about it. Everyone talking about it. And everyone is happy and excited to see all those big name player playing abroad coming back in Africa and play the for that big tournament. So, you know, I remember I used to watch it with my dad, you know, back in 1992 when we won it for the first time, Ivory Coast. And that's still with me. It's one of my best memories. So for African players, it's massive to be involved in that and to see all the coverage now. That competition got is big for us.
Yeah, and I think with the videos that we've seen going around on social media, like Mahrez getting off the bus in Cameroon and all of the kids going absolutely crazy, it's just absolutely fantastic to see that. And I think people sometimes, Javo, underestimate how much playing for the national team means to people. Obviously, you've both played international football, so is it hard to put into words what it's like to pull on that shirt, to be fair? Because I think there's a lot of people that don't appreciate just how much it can mean to people.
Yeah, look, I can only go on experience myself that it's a dream. You know, every kid has that dream of playing football for their country, and I was able to live that dream, and it was just, it's hard to describe. It was an incredible feeling. I was fortunate in the sense that my one was at Wembley, so I wasn't travelling here, there and everywhere. I had all my friends and family there, so it was unique to me to experience it with everyone. But I've played with many players that are going to the African Cup of Nations, and the love and the, you know, excitement to go and play is huge. You can see it. They're desperate to go and play. Because it means so much to them, and that's what it should be. And you can see that by the performances, the fans especially. I think it's because it's been, you know, it's not been here for the last couple of years, so this one's just been such a huge emotion for the all the fans and the players to go and show everyone what they can do, and it's great to watch.
What have you made of it so far, Sol? Because there have been some good moments, there have been some crazy moments, but all in all, it's been very entertaining.
Yeah, that's typical Africa for you, unfortunately. You know, you got crazy moments. You got very good moment, we enjoy it. You got crazy moment, you know. I mean, listen, for us, it's all about what we're looking at. It's all about the performances of the players, the whole squad, the way they try to win games and to represent the country as well as they can. And but to be fair, for me as well, it's a statement for us to do well. And, you know, small, I mean, it's not even small, it's a big incident what happened with the referee. That should never happen, you know, because is as much as we put pressure on ourselves to represent Africa, the whole continent, the standards have to be better. And if we want people to respect our competition, it start from there. The player have to behave a certain way, so have to play the best way they can, entertaining football. And the referee have to be a better standards. You know, the whole organization have to be better. The pitches as well have to be, they're okay. Because trust me, I played on four African Cup of Nations. Some of the pitches I played for on, they weren't good. So the pitch is over at the minute, as far as I can see. But everything and as a whole continent and as a whole organization, we have to do better if we want people to respect our competition more.
I think that's a really fair point you make about standards. I totally agree with what you're saying there. And you mentioned you've played in a number of tournaments. How does that affect fitness? How did that affect your fitness going away midway through a Premier League season? Are you tired when you get back? Is it a case of you feel like you're exhausted because of the extra games?
Absolutely. It's when you come back, you feel it. Because when you go there, you're in shape, you feel good, you know. But it's you can find it as well difficult because of the heat, you know. Sometimes when I remember we played one African combination in Angola, and it's a low altitude there as well. So we couldn't breathe for a couple of weeks when we got there. You know, it's all that you have to take into consideration. But when you come back, the extra game doesn't help. The heat, when you come back here, it's cold. So from the heat and the cold, it's hard to adapt. And I have to say as well, sometimes clubs are not happy because you left. So when you come back, they make you pay, if you like. So they don't play you for a couple of weeks, you know. I had that with Leicester. I remember talking, we actually had a game after when I come back from a Cup of Nations, and we played Chelsea, Leicester on the Cup, and me and Drogba were on the bench. And I remember we were doing the warm-up and he said, why are you not playing? I said, why are you not playing? You know? So we both feel it was a bit of punishment there, but, you know, it's always difficult to come back in and to get back to the rhythm and that. But, you know, now with all the sports science and everything, I'm sure the player will be okay.
Is it more because of your, you know, because the excitement of going to the tournament and then the adrenaline of getting through the tournament, going through it, and then when you come back, you've got that sort of, not lull, but, you know, it's harder on your, you know, mentally as well as physically.
Absolutely, Xavier, you bang on. That's absolutely why, you know, I think when you come back from all that, you know, the enjoyment there, the excitement, you know, the pressure sometimes for some of the team. Yeah. And you come back here and all of a sudden, like, you're like, you know, you need a breather, really. But you're in the middle of the season, so you can't have it, you know. So it is very, very difficult. But I'm sure all the players won't change it. You just have to adapt and try to get on with it.
How do you think the missing players will impact the Premier League sides, Javo? I mean, Liverpool, we've said about Salah, Mane and Keita being missing. Leicester are missing Ndidi, Iheanacho. Obviously, Mahrez is missing from Manchester City. Chelsea have a couple of players away as well. So how do you think that will impact the Premier League teams? Is it something they would have planned for in advance, do you think?
Look, it's in some ways, it's come at quite a good time. For instance, Liverpool, they've got reasonable run of games. So by the time the players get back, they'll be back into, you know, they've got like Arsenal in the Cup. Obviously, they want to do well in the Cup, but they've got Brentford, Palace, Cardiff in the Cup and Leicester. So they'll be looking at that run of games thinking, you know, we can cope. They've got a great squad of players. So let's not, you know, they are missing their main two players for sure. Like Keita's been in and out of the season, but Mane and Salah, they're their two most outstanding players. So they will miss them, but they've got a really good squad of players that can come in, and they've got, as I said, a reasonable run of games that you should see them through. It's more that Leicester will probably be Chelsea have got another, you know, they've got a great squad. They can rotate, as you've seen. They've already been able to rotate the players for different competitions, and I think they will, again, be okay. I think it's more like Leicester, when you don't have such a big squad, that's when you're counting on your main players to step up and play. And when there's injuries or illnesses and then players away, it's always going to be a bit more difficult. But again, they've got like got Burnley, Spurs, Brighton, and Liverpool and Forest in the cup, so they've got a bit more of a difficult run of games. So I feel like for the big boys like Liverpool and Chelsea, I think they've got the squad to adapt and to do it. I don't see them signing players just for the sake of signing players to cover. Yeah. I think that'd be far too difficult.
It's not Leicester's style to do that either, is it really? To go, you know, sign players on a whim. The Premier League has got a beautiful legacy with African players. You mentioned your old pal Didier Drogba, an absolute icon. Yaya, another one at Manchester City. And there are a number of other players who have, you know, represented Africa proudly and brilliantly in the Premier League. But when we look at the Premier League players we've got now from Africa's soul, it feels to me like the best crop of players that Africa may have ever produced. We've mentioned Salah and Mane, two world-class players. Mahrez is exceptional. You know, Mendy, the goalkeeper, is brilliant. So, I mean, there's so many different players now representing Africa in the Premier League. Is this some of the best players you've ever seen come from that continent?
I won't say that because I don't want to get in trouble with Drogba and Kolo and that. But it's definitely like probably, if it's not the best, it's very, very close because, you know, like you said, there's so many good players playing at the top of their games for top clubs, you know. And what is very good for them as well is they're proud to represent the continent of Africa as well. You know, they don't want to miss any games. And they want to go and play a tournament like the AFCON, you know. And that's important for us and everyone in Africa because the players, they idolize and they're looking at as God. So for any player in Africa looking them, they said, like, you know, if I've got a dream to be a professional footballer, I can play at that level because those guys have been doing it. And I think that's very, very good and important for everyone, for all of us to represent the continent as well as we can.
Very diplomatic answer, and I'm glad you've done that because I can't be having Kolo and Didier Drogba coming after me.
I'm telling you, and trust me, they listen everything, and they're always on the text with me when I do TV or radio. Why have you said that? Why have you done that? Why have you done that? So I don't want any trouble, trust me.
I'll make sure I avoid Kolo next time I go to Leicester and make sure I'm staying away from him. My career will be over if those two are on top of me. Brilliant stuff. Great to chat to you, Sol. Best of luck with Middlesbrough for the upcoming games, and I'm sure we'll have you back on the show again soon. It's been great to chat to you.
So
Jarvo, thanks as ever. Appreciate your company. We'll see you again next time on the podcast.
Thanks,
that's it for today's episode of The Dugout. Don't forget, if you hit subscribe, that way you won't miss an episode of the show again. We are the only podcast with a new episode on Premier League football every single day of the season. No one else does that. So make sure you hit subscribe, as I say. But that's it for now, and we'll catch you next time.
The Dugout, Premier League preview. Football Social Daily.